This is Eleni Andrus. I'm here with Karen Allen. It is November 2nd at 1:06 p.m. and we are at the Weber Public Library. So, Karen, how about, tell me a little bit about where you come from.
I was born and raised in St. Louis, lived in North St. Louis by Chinook Park, went to Riverview Gardens High School. When I was 21, I moved out and moved to the city.
How would you describe your childhood?
Different. My parents divorced, and my father abandoned us. My mother passed away when I was 24 on Christmas Eve morning.
How would you describe your parents' influence on you kind of growing up?
My dad, I don't think he had any influence on me because I just remember him being mean. My mom didn't live long enough, I guess, to influence me. If she did, she loved me the kindness.
Who would you then say were the most influential figures in your early life and through kind of adolescence? Like, who are your influential
people? My mom, my grandma, my older sister.
Could you tell me a little bit about your grandma and your older sister?
Oh, my grandma was something else. She was a pistol, but I loved her dearly. She was just a fun, silly old woman that took no crap from anybody. Sandy has been like a mother. She's older than me, only by a few years, but been more like a mother. And we just kind of got reconnected again at no fault of hers in the past 8 years, 6 years.
Who of those people that you just mentioned would you say you're most like?
Sandy.
Sandy? In what ways?
Oh, we're Allen girls. We have the same mannerism for the most part. Same temper and same silly wit.
What were some defining experiences for you growing up?
My mother dying of cancer when I was 24. Me calling my dad to tell him my mom died, and he said he didn't give a beep. And then me trying to get a hold of my brother to tell him my grandmother died. So I had to go through the operator to get a hold of my dad, and he told the operator he didn't have a daughter named Karen. So that kind of ended that feeling for my father. My grandma dying. Just having to be on my own a lot until I met Pat.
Could you tell me a little bit about Pat?
Pat was, when I met her, I was 27, she was 44. She was a strong-willed person, but we grew to a family. She had two children, but before Pat and I, she was with a woman named Georgia. Georgia had a child, 1 year old, and her name was Heather. They were together for 7 years, and Pat and Georgia raised Heather. She was 7 years old, and then I came into the picture in January 1984. I was 27, she was 44. One of the things Pat told me that I have never forgotten was, too many people break up, and when there's children involved, they also break up with them. So when it came to Georgia's daughter, Heather, that Pat raised for 7 years, I was told that it was none of my business and that she will do and stay in Heather's life. Heather and I didn't get along very well at first. But as she got older, things were fine. As time goes by, Heather was an adult herself, and she was married. She had three children, three girls, Jade, Rajay, and Maya. So as life goes on, her and her husband broke up because Heather was getting mentally ill. And she had knee surgery and she was taking pain pills, which she became very addictive, which caused her to be bipolar. Then, as that went on, she became borderline personality. They said she had borderline personality disorder. So she got even worse and worse and worse. And 8 years ago, she committed suicide. Now, the girls were at that time 15, 11, and 4. So they went to live with their grandma after all was said and done and Heather was buried. But the girls didn't want to live with their biological grandmother. They wanted to come live with Pat and me. Now, we've been in their life since they were born. So we got the father involved, and he had to go get a lot of things taken care of in Illinois because of what Heather had done against him. And he finally got full custody of all his kids. We moved him down here August, the last day of August, 8 years ago. And they have been with the family ever since. Now, mind you, I'm not biologically related to any of these girls. I am just what they call Aunt Karen, who's been in their life since day one. Back to Pat's family. Pat's daughter had a child, and her name's Jessica. Now, I've been in Jessica's life for 32 years. Kinda helped raise her, more or less. Her mother got ill, hit her head, had a blood clot, and had to have surgery. Since then, she's been in a nursing home, and that's been going on 10 years, I think. Something like that. So Jessica has been under my belt, too. So Pat and I raised all these kids. Pat lived only 2 years after the girls moved in. 6 years ago, Pat passed away from complications of COPD. So I have been the one raising all four kids, more or less. Jessica's helped me out tremendously because she was an adult. And I am their Aunt Karen. Now, Jessica, the oldest, she has a new life. She has a family started. One of the girls, the oldest girl, she has a life, she has a son. Now, their kids call me Grandma. Actually, they call me Kay, and my partner now, call her T. Okay, after Pat passed away, we lived on South Grant. It wasn't a good neighborhood. I had met Tammy 2 years after Pat passed away. We've been together 4 years. We legally got married May 20th, 2017. But when I met Tammy, we were friends first, and so she knew all about the kids, how they were part of my life. She knows everything that I could ever think of to tell her. And she still wanted to stay with me. So anyway, we got out of Grand because the neighborhood was getting bad. We moved to a house in Afton. All the kids lived there with us. Well, like I said, the older one, Jessica, she has her own family. She bought a house all on her own, and she's an adult now, doing her life. And Jade lives in an apartment with her boyfriend and her son. And I have the two younger girls living with me. One is in college, but home right now. And the other one's only 13 years old.
So, what was it that, this is What was it that made you stay, if that makes sense, once Pat passed away? I mean, I know that you knew the kids and obviously had developed a relationship with them, but that's kind of like a next level of dedication to a group of people. I mean, they had older sisters, they had family members that could have taken them on. What was it about your connection with them that you decided you
have? Purely love. You don't have to be blood. You do what you have to do, what is necessary. These kids were still young when Pat passed away. We also fought hard to keep them, get them down here, because they did not want to live with their grandmother. Jessica was like my own kid. I seen her, well, all of them, from day one, and just watch them grow and taught them and played with them, and I just love them. And I would not, in any way, abandon these children. And what Pat said to me about Heather is how I feel about my girls.
So you didn't have any siblings growing up, correct? Or did you have any siblings when you were?
I have two sisters and a brother.
You mentioned. Do you think anything about your relationship, like your family ties growing up, kind of shaped the way that you value family? Did that kind of carry over into how you view your girls?
I think it did. And before I got with Pat, my older sister had two children who I love dearly. Don't get to see them enough, but they're grown adults and have their own lives. My one sister, her name is Kim. She's a troubled one. I don't know if she's still alive. I have no way of contacting her. But when I was with Pat, we took her daughter in for a time because she was away. And we took care of her. So I think it's natural for me. I have no biological children. So I just think this is natural.
Can I ask you a little bit, going back a little bit about Pat?
Sure.
So how and when did you meet Pat?
It was in January 1984. I walked into a bar called Kitty Cat Club. It's a gay bar, and she was there. And I had seen her a couple times before when she was still with Georgia, but she wasn't at that particular time. And so from that day, we just started dating, and I moved in, and we were together 27 years till she passed away.
So would you say that it was kind of an immediate connection?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I really think so.
And you didn't know, you knew of her before?
I knew of her before from someone I hung around with. Yeah. She was a manager of a baseball team.
Did you frequent the St. Louis gay bar scene regularly? Like, what was your relationship with that scene?
I basically just went to the Kitty Cat Club. It was a small, family-oriented, great place to be. I loved it. I didn't really go to a lot of bars. Actually, I didn't know there was bars like that out, even when I was in my 20s. But yeah, I went to just usually Kitty Cat Club.
How did you discover it?
You know, I can't remember. I think a friend of mine went there. I think that's how I started going there.
Did you have a lot of friends that would also go there with you once you started going? Like, did you kind of develop any sort of community within the Kitty Cat Club?
Once I started going in, I knew a few people, but I got to know a lot when I would go in there with Pat. I knew her friends. I got to know all of them. And I'm still friends with a lot of them.
They're all still kind of in St. Louis?
Yep, they're all in St. Louis, and we go out and hang around and all the time.
Are any of your kind of old stomping grounds still around, or have you found that I know that a lot of, especially lesbian bars, have kind of closed down.
The Kitty Cat closed down, but I had stopped going. Pat and I stopped going there out for a long time. We kind of had a family life because of Jessica, so we just stopped going out a lot. We would on occasions, but now we go to a place called Hummel's on Broadway. It's owned by a woman, Dawn Hummel, and that's where we go. All of us. We just go down there, and a friend of ours DJs, so we go down there and just party with them when they do it, and it's like a couple times a month.
Do you go with Tammy?
Well, of course.
Were you ever around the Central West End? Because I know that that was kind of a popular destination.
I was for about maybe a year and a half. I would go down there a lot when I was with another friend.
So you and Pat kind of formed this instant connection, and then what was it that, I guess, not persuaded you to move in with her, but how did your relationship sort of develop from meeting at a bar?
Haven't you heard that lesbians U-Haul it really quick?
So the stereotype, what you're saying is that the stereotype in certain cases is
yes,
true.
Yes, is true. Yeah. I moved in with her. A couple weeks later, we went to Arizona for a while. Never left.
So you guys moved to Arizona.
Sorry. No. I moved in with her. Okay. We took a trip to Arizona to where her parents were.
Oh, and so you met her parents?
Yes.
What was that like?
Her mother was an old Italian woman, and her father was an old German man. It's kind of nerve-wracking, but I was young, so I could deal with it.
They sound like, on paper, that they would be pretty conservative, kind of hard asses.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that
I would say that.
Accurate?
Yeah.
But that didn't deter you at all?
No.
And then you guys moved, or you went back to St. Louis?
Yeah, we came back. We only went out there for a couple weeks to visit. Then we came back to St. Louis. Terry, Pat's daughter, had Jessica, and we kind of made it to where we were just homebound with Jessica, taking care of her, because her mom at the time worked really hard, a couple jobs, and she was just our life.
So what was it like specifically raising Jessica?
I was a soft-hearted one. I would get in trouble for letting her get away with too much. Pat was more strict than I was. Pat and I would get into a few arguments over Jessica because I thought Pat was a little rough. But Jessica and I was young and vibrant. I was her playmate. We played. We did everything. I'd come home from work and did a special whistle in the hallway. She would hear me, "Karen's home," and run downstairs.
Were there any major challenges specifically related to raising Jessica that you remember?
Mostly, I got accused a couple of times for stealing her away from her mom.
By whom?
Her mom.
By her mom.
Yes. And I told her I didn't have to steal her, that she gave her away. So there was challenges, but I wouldn't change it.
Would you say that, so what kind of time period, years-wise, was Jessica growing up then? Was that in...
She was born in 1985.
So, would you say that it was more difficult co-parenting with a partner at that time period in 1985 as opposed to now kind of raising the younger girls? Is it easier to be like romantically involved with a partner now and raising kids than it
I think it all depends on the people. It depends on your age. And just how you were raised, maybe. I think we didn't really have a problem raising Jessica, all three of us. Like I said, I was the softer one, so I didn't really discipline her much. She was a good kid. She always laughs that she was raised under a rock. Because I am the more scared one for the children. I wouldn't let her do anything. Spend the night anywhere. Yeah. Ride her bike anywhere. She didn't know how to ride a bike for the longest time. That would be because of me. And actually, where we lived, there was no place for her to. So I just think it depends on the two people.
So, do you have any memories of, like, running into, like, specific, I don't know if discrimination isn't, maybe that's a strong word, but any time that you felt essentially disrespected?
The only time I ever felt disrespected was after the marriage laws went through that the LGBT could marry legally. Tammy and I were at Walmart, and we had a full cart overflowing full of groceries kids can eat. And two men walked by, and he said, "Judgment Day is coming." I didn't quite catch it. He said a little more, but I can't remember. I didn't quite catch it. And then Tammy explained to me that we were going to be judged because we were gay. And it immediately pissed me off. I said, "Turn the truck around. Take me back to him. I have a mouth on me and a temper." She said no. That is the only time I have ever felt discriminated against.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess, tell me then, so after Jessica, who's the next oldest?
No, she is the oldest.
I'm the youngest. Who comes after Jessica?
Jade.
Okay, so Jade comes into the picture then at what point?
Jade came in the picture. Jade is 22. Jessica's... So they're 10 years apart.
Okay.
Jessica was 10 when Jade was born. Jessica used to play with Jade like it was her baby doll. And Jade and Jessica were so close when they were little.
Even though they were 10 years apart.
Yeah. Jessica wanted to play mommy a lot. You know, and it was all about Jade. Until they get to a certain age, and then all kids are little, you know, assholes.
What was it like raising Jade as compared to raising Jessica, or just like by herself?
Jade had a hell of a childhood. Her mother and dad were excellent parents. Heather would always, her house was always clean. The girls were, we're talking about Jade. Jade was always clean, always well-mannered. It took a while for Heather to get there, but when she did, Jade was like a little doll. But as she grew up, like a lot of kids, they get their attitude. But Jade went through hell with her mother when her mother got sick. Her mother... tried to get her in trouble, which actually got Jade in trouble. No, that came out wrong. Heather tried to get Jade in trouble, would let her go in her room drinking and smoking and all that stuff, and then Heather turned on her and tried to get her in trouble with the law.
What was the incentive to do that? Why would Heather do that?
At this particular time, I think Heather was just being a nasty, mean person. And she told Jade that her mother sent her to rehab, so she's going to send her to rehab. Georgia was, I don't know how to put this nicely, was a whack job. It was all about Georgia. Heather got it in the way. So how she did Heather is how Heather did Jade. But Jade also received the brunt of Heather's illness. And Heather was very mean to Jade. Very mean. So getting Jade at 15, it was difficult. Jade was, I mean, she loved us, don't get me wrong. She loved us and she knew it was the best. But when she'd go through her little spells, I think she just tried to push to see how far she could go. And as long as Pat was alive, she knew that wasn't going to go very far. And even myself, I wouldn't let her. She tried to act out a few times, and she got grounded for it. And then she kind of settled down, and it all became life to all of us. Normal, you know. One of the next child in line, Rajay, I think she was feeling her oats one day and told me, "You're not my mother." I said, "No, I'm not, but just still do what I tell you to, and don't play those games with me because it doesn't work." Maya was too young, so.
Did you feel, I know this is probably a taboo question for anybody who plays a motherly figure to mm-hmm. anybody, but did you ever have like a stronger bond with one of the girls over another? Not necessarily that you loved one more, but just that you feel more connected to any of the girls in any way?
Jessica? Jessica and I have a strong bond. We don't see eye to eye because she has oh so much of her grandmother in her. But Jessica and I have a strong bond. We always have. Jade and I have a... how do I put this? A love-hate. It's always love. Don't get me wrong. I love that kid, even though I want to strangle her. But she is more... she's a lot like Pat, too. Jesus Christ. I'm not going to win on this. And Pat's not her biological grandmother. But she's a strong-willed person. So we have a lot of run-ins. Rajay was just absolutely adorable when she was growing up. She never met a stranger. "I love and like you," is what she would say. And Maya and I were never really that close because Jade and Rajay were close to me and Pat always wanted one of them to get close to her. So when Maya was born, Maya was a very shy child, would never spend time with us unless her mother did. So when she would come down, I would just simply go away in another room or something and let Pat have time with Maya. So Maya and Pat grew a bond. And as Pat was getting sicker, Maya would tell me she's babysitting her. You know, they would lay in bed together with oxygen masks on. Maya's wasn't hooked up, obviously. But yeah, they had a strong bond. Now, I have a strong bond with the grandbabies. The other girls are adults. Well, two of them. The one's in college, and ditzy as she is, she's a good kid. Maya, on the other hand, is twice as ditzy, and oh, I can't wait till she gets older.
Remind me, how old is Maya?
Maya's 13. Mm-hmm.
So, what's it like kind of raising a preteen teenage girl? Because I know that that's... what are... yeah,
ask your mom.
Tell me about it.
Ask your mom how it was. It's hard. You know, I may not be strict, but I have really weird rules. I'm afraid of other people in this world because there's so many weird, strange, disgusting people. So when we moved to the house we're in Afton, I wouldn't let Maya ride her bike. If she did, she could only go up two houses and back. And I was always told about that by Jessica, Karen. Let her ride her bike. No. You know, and I kind of eased up on that. She wants to go for walks with her friends. It's like, you call me when you leave. You call me when you get to where you're going. You call me when you get home. I'm just overly protective. And she's a smart mouth. Sloppy. What's the word? Rude. She's everything a 13-year-old you can imagine is.
Have you seen any of yourself kind of rub off on any of the girls? Do you, when you look at them
now? I kind of wish I could, but no, I don't see that. I don't see the softness. I am I get mad easy. But the softness in me and how I care, I don't really see that from any of them. I mean, they care about their kids and themselves and their boyfriends, but I don't see me rubbed off on any of them.
Why do you think the softness particularly? Do you think that has anything to do with like any parts of their past or their upbringings, or do you think that just...
No, I was always a sucker. I always had a soft heart. I would cry at everything, and it drove me crazy. But let me tell you something. If you're like that and you hit menopause, boy, that shit sure changed. You turn into a bitch. And I loved it.
But do you think that there's a reason that the girls don't really possess that softness that you can think of, or is that just kind of inherent to who they are?
I just think it's who they are. I don't think that who they are and who they were raised by, well, then Jessica should be nice. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with their upbringing, even though it wasn't for a very long time. You know, I think it's just who they are. I don't think that soft-hearted, my feelings get hurt really easy, all the boring, disgusting stuff I go through.
The girls that have kids, do mm-hmm. you see them raising their kids in any way that mirrors the way that you raise them? Do you have any, like, aha moments? Like, that's what I told you.
Do you know, have you ever watched a mother feeding a child and they always open their mouth when the child takes a bite? They always make fun of me for that. Well, they do it. And I just laugh. I laugh. And they tell me, my kid's not going to do this. And when they let them do it, it's like, exactly. What'd you tell me? Okay. That kind of stuff, yes, I think it's funny. Jessica's, I would say if any of them, Jessica's a little like me in that. But raising their kids, they have strict rules. And sometimes grandma don't follow them.
So tell me about your grandbabies.
Okay, Liam is the oldest. He's 3. Oh, my God. It was a house full of women, always. And then here comes a little boy. Boys were rough to raise. They're mean. Mean little shits. But, oh, my God, he was so cute. And I just love him to death. And then we have Prue. Cruz Jessica's, he's 2. And boy, does he have a hell of a personality. He is just, he can be so loving and so honoring. Well, they both can be. And when you get the loving moment, it's like you just eat it up. You know, I didn't want to be called grandma because I'm old as it is. And I thought, ugh. But you know what? I like being called grandma. And Cruz's going to have a brother or sister soon, this month actually. So I get to be a grandma again.
What is it about grandma that you like?
Because I don't have to raise them. No, I do babysit them though. I babysit the boys because they're not in school full time on Wednesday and Friday. Yeah, Wednesday and Friday. And, you know, the grandmas can spoil them. The parents don't like it, but it's like, oh, I know. Grandma gets to do such wonderful things and send them back to you.
Do you find yourself being as protective of them as you were with the girls growing
yes,
up?
Definitely. Especially with them being boys. And the way this world is now, and these kids that are out on the street with, that have no respect, that treat females like, yes.
So, If you could raise your grandbaby boys, how would you raise them in this world today as boys, as men, in terms of like how they interact with women? Because you raised a whole family of women at first.
They have to learn that respect. they would be raised to learn a lot of respect and to have respect and to show respect. And to be kind and good and honest. And it starts at home. And yes, I would raise them to be kind, gentle men.
Do you think that's challenging in today's world?
It is, but they're young enough. And, you know, Jessica and Jade both, the moms, they both teach them to be polite. You know, T and K will be sitting down and one of the boys will come up and say, "Get up, I want that chair." And we just, because we're used to it, we just get up. You know, the moms are there, it's like, "Would you please get up? May I please have that chair?" And they will repeat it. You know, and you've got to teach young boys that respect is number one, is a number one priority, so they don't turn out like these little assholes in this world today. I don't care if I'm on a cane. If I see him treating a woman wrong, I will hit him with my cane. I despise men like that. And it's not because I'm gay. It's because I just despise people like that. We teach them not to be bullies, because I despise bullies. We teach them not to be racist. For one, their grandparents are gay. Two, Liam, his mother, and his two aunts, they're all mixed. So you can't really be racist against when you come from a diverse family. And that's what we are. We're a diverse family. So I teach them not to be bullies, my personal, as I do now, and not to be racist.
Did you ever have any difficulties growing up raising the girls in terms of, like, experiencing any sort of either racism or, like, I don't know, any sort of kind of, like, maliciousness?
You know what? No.
No.
The kids, when they were growing up, no. Jay doesn't look like she's mixed, but she is. Rajay and Maya look pretty mixed. But no, they've never came back and said, somebody said, well, they used to make fun of Jade, and I don't know if they were being malicious, that she's a white girl trying to be a black girl. But she does, her father, her biological father, is half black. Her adopted father, that's Rob. No. And she just tells them, whatever. And my kids are very good about the fact that they bring it up how they don't like gay people and that. They will stand up and they will say what they have to say about it because they don't like people like that either.
Has that happened before?
It has. To Jade, I mean, she would tell all her boyfriends that her aunt and grandma are gay, and then she tries and explain the whole long story, and, you know, we just stop doing that to everybody. And Roger does the same thing, and Maya, actually, I'm proud of Maya, too, because she just doesn't care what people think. As far as it goes, that I'm gay. That they live with gay people.
And is that because, did you ever, like, have a formal conversation with them about it? Or is it just from observing you?
No, I am.
And loving you.
The three girls, their biological grandmother told them. Which the mother was upset about it because that was her place to tell them. But that's how George is. And so they were young when they were told, so it's just kind of like, you know, they just grew up with it. So, and so is Jessica. Jessica's not as open about it. You know, it's like people don't need to know everything, but she has no problem with it.
So, kind of stepping back a little bit, I'm really curious to know how Tammy plays into this whole picture. So I want to know about your specific relationship with Tammy and then about her relationship with the family and the kids. So,
I met Tammy at a birthday party in a bar.
Was it at the Kitty Cat
no.
Club? No.
No, Kitty Cat Club's been closed for like 20 years. No, this was a bar in Illinois. I can't think of the name of it. But anyway, we were there. She was there. I was there for a mutual friend now's birthday party. And I met her. I thought she was cute. But, you know, I was just coming back out again around people after Pat had died. So I didn't really know. I wanted to wait a year after Pat died. But anyway, we were going to a mutual friend's house for a birthday party. So we started texting each other with that. And we went to the party. And then she lived in Kansas. Once we came back, Tammy and I just kept talking. And I'd invite her over for morning coffee or night coffee. It depends on what shift she was working. And that's kind of how we got together. And when we were getting ready to move, she asked me, well, what about me? And I just looked at her and said, do you want to move with us? She goes, well, yes. I said, okay, cool. But that before that, we were starting to date. She had asked Jessica, Pat's biological granddaughter, if it was okay, if she was comfortable with that.
With
us dating.
Okay.
And Jessica said yes, and Jessica informed me that if we break up, Tammy was staying and I was leaving. My kids like Tammy, and that is really a big plus, big plus.
What was it about Tammy that you initially liked about her?
Her looks. Her crooked little smile, her cocky smile. And then once I got to know her, she's just such a nice, nice, nice person. She treats me as part of the relationship. Instead of, I finally feel like I am part of something as far as her and I go. I'm not just the, here, do this, do that, do this. That's a different long story. And she is just, she's so kind. I don't know how else, she's just got a good heart and she's kind. And she helps me when I get to a point of when my anger gets the best of me or when my emotions does. She knows how to pull me back down and calm me down.
When was it when you first realized that you were in love with her?
I think the more we had coffee together and talking to her, I knew then there was something special about her. And I started to fall for her, not really realizing it. But I knew I wanted to keep seeing more of her. I wanted her to be around more. I wanted to be around her more. And it just grew from there. And I knew she was someone special for me. Something I have waited a long time for.
You may have kind of been alluding to this, but how would you say she was different than Pat, and
Pat had her good ways, good things about her, a lot. But Pat was mean. She was verbally abusive. And she was kind of like an old dyke, old school dyke. You know, it's her way. And I was naive. And I was young. But Pat was mean. I chose to stay. I loved her. I wanted her to love me the way I loved her. But I don't think she did. I wanted to be a part of her life. Just not a figure in it. Yeah. And Tammy's not that way at all. I am part of her life. I am part of a relationship. I don't have to ask permission to do something. It took a while. I would ask her, hey, I want to get my nails done. Do you mind? She'd text back, really, Karen? Oh, I'm still here. It's taking longer. It's okay, Karen. You know, so It took me a little while to get over it, but I still do some of those things, you know. Do you mind if, is it okay? You know, that's just 27 years of a relationship. You know, that just becomes part of you.
In what ways would you say then that Tammy has rubbed off on you in kind of however you interpret that?
I would say I'm calmer, but I'm not. I, honest to God, have someone that I can actually lean on and get the help I need when I need it. Me personally. You know, I don't have to sit there, which I wish I could talk to her. I can talk to her about anything. And she will pretty much tell me, well, she doesn't tell me the truth. She doesn't sugarcoat things, which is good, but she's just so kind in anything she does. If I have a problem, I go to her. If I'm crying and I go to her, But anyway, she's good for me.
What would you say then? So, okay, shifting to the kids, how does she fit into that story?
They're respectful of it. They like Tammy. They really do. That's all I can say about that. They like her. She knew what she was getting into when she started coming over for coffee and stuff, all the kids. Tammy has seen me at my worst. And she's seen me at my best. So she's seen the kids at their worst and at their best. So they like her. They have their own rapport together. And that's good. You know, they'll ask me something before they ask Tammy, of course, because they're more comfortable with it. And it's like, ask Tammy yourself. You know, so it's a good thing.
Can you elaborate a little bit on, like, how Tammy's picked you up at some of your lows, but also been there with you through some of your highs?
When I met Tammy, Pat had been dead 2 years. She would sneak into the graveyard with me, the cemetery, and I would sit there and I would just cry about, you know, the 27 years, the good, the bad, the ugly. She has taught me that I'm allowed to be me, that I do have a right to be a part of a relationship. When I'm down, she'll just give me the encouraging words, a simple hug, a simple kiss, something that I can feel her letting me know it's okay. Go through what you got to, but here's this, you know. So she's good for me. She's the relationship I have wanted my entire life. Not when I was a kid, but my adult life. I wanted to be a part of a relationship, not disowned.
Do you and Tammy now have, like, joint friends? What's your community dynamic?
Yes, we
like
have
now?
Joint friends. We have the Illinois friends, which are people that she raised or grew up with and hung around. And then we have the St. Louis friends, which are people that I had known, but Pat and I stopped associating with for a long time, but once Pat passed away, they all were still there. They were still there. And they got me involved in their lives again. You know, they welcomed me back. And so Tammy knows them, and through them, we've all made new friends. So yeah, she calls them the St. Louis people, her friends. I call the Illinois people my friends. So they are good friends. We have some good friends.
What do you guys do with your friends?
Drink, party, Go out to eat. We celebrate birthdays. Whenever there's a birthday, if it's on the 0 or the 5, they get a present. If it's just one of the other numbers, we just go out and have a party. Yeah, you know, we go to the bar, we drink. Oh, God, do we drink. One of our friends, like I said, is a DJ. She'll spin, well, they don't spin records no more. She'll plug in her iPod or whatever the heck it is. Let's go. And we'll just dance, we'll laugh, we'll have a good time.
I think I asked you this before, but where is it that you guys go now, then?
Hummel's.
Hummel's, okay.
We go to Hummel's. It's a local hole in the wall. It's on Broadway. They've done some nice updates on it. It's kind of that cozy feeling. Never be a kitty cat, but it's a cozy feeling. We just go into a corner there and just all of us are there and yeah.
What kind of people besides is it a gay bar?
Yes.
And then two, kind of what's the age and demographic spread of it? Is it all kinds of people or is it?
It's all kinds of people. It's a gay bar. There are from the young to the very old. Let's see, we have an 80-year-old Betty, which I think you may know her, down to like a 21. You know, so it's all different ages. The Illinois people have come over there. We all, the ones that normally go there are from either St. Charles, St. Peter's, the city, the county, St. Louis. But yeah, so it's a diversity. We've made some friends just from being down there. Some really cool people.
Have you noticed either back in the day or today that the lesbian bar scene has been kind of like either like it's been like white, black, or well integrated? Like is it more distinct? How's that looked?
Oh shit, I never think of things like that. Now the Kitty Cat Club was pretty white. Hummel's, there's black people that come in there. I don't look at it that way. You know, I just look at it as a bunch of people having fun. I don't really see color in people. I mean, I can obviously tell them they're darker than me. But I don't judge people on their color. I judge them on their demeanor. And when they have good demeanor, I just don't see it. I don't see color. And I just see humans. But Hummel's has a few that I know of that come in there. They might come in there during the week, too, that we don't see. Probably attitudes and other bars like that have more of a diversity in there. I know Hummel's has a lot of guys and a lot of girls and, you know, straights that go in there.
Do you notice a difference between bars that are exclusively lesbian bars and all female spaces versus gay, lesbian, mixed? Like,
God, that is such a weird thing, the gay and lesbians. We're all gay. Back in the day, the guy bars, women didn't go into them because they didn't like women. And they didn't come into lesbian bars. Now it's pretty much, you know, they go wherever they want. I don't really think there's a strictly, I mean, there's men bars, but women go into it. And there's most, the population in this bar are women, men go into it. You know, so I think they've eased up a little bit on, ew, we can't associate with each other. Which is another thing that drove me crazy.
Would you say most of your friends now then are part of the larger gay community? Like, are most of your friends?
My friends, my older friends, have paved the way for people like me, people younger than me, to be who they are today. I think it's not as frowned upon in the basic public eye. You know, forget your religious groups because that's another story. And we won't go there. But in your general public, it's not as bad as it used to be. People don't hide it like they used to. People don't have to hide it. It's more accepted.
Do you ever view, you referenced your friends being kind of like trailblazers in certain ways. Do you ever view yourself that way? Do you ever think back and think, wow, I've paved the way? Why not?
Because when I came out, I kept it hidden for a long, long time. Even when I was with Pat, I did. I didn't tell anybody I was gay because I was afraid of the backlash I would get. Once menopause hit again, thank you, menopause, I don't give a shit what anybody thinks of me. You don't like me, that's your problem. You need to get to know me first and then make that decision. I'm a little rough on the edges, but I just don't care anymore. You know, people should be allowed to be who they are. And if you don't like it, then stay away from them. Don't insult them. Don't hurt. Don't bully them. Just stay away. And let them be who they are. We're not hurting anybody. I've never hurt anybody. I never would. It's my life. Like it or leave it. Same thing I feel about me. You don't like me? Too bad.
Does Tammy view it similarly? What's her stance on it?
You would have to probably ask her, but I think she's pretty much the same. I mean, we don't go out and broadcast that we're gay. We don't go walking and holding hands. That's why when this person said something to us at the Walmart, it's probably because we had short hair. And we're, you know, whatever. But we don't broadcast it. I don't have to wear shoes that have the gay flag on it. I don't have to wear earrings. I just don't think that's proper. Myself. I don't need to flaunt it. I am who I am. I know who I am. But I don't need to go up to Joe Blow and say, look, we're gay. I just don't see that. There's a time and a place for anything, even for heterosexuals. And to show it in public is just one thing that is not necessary.
Do you see a difference in like public displays of affection then? Do you think if you were with a man, would you feel more comfortable holding his hand? Or is it just your general stance on public displays of affection?
I think it's my general stance on it. I mean, I wouldn't feel uncomfortable holding Tammy's hand anywhere. Or a man's hand, anywhere. It's just, I don't look at it, I think public PDA, is that what they call it, is sometimes just really uncalled for. I mean, I would never go in the middle of Shop and Save and make out with Tammy, but I would never go in the middle of Shop and Save and make out with Joe Blow, either. I just don't, it's just, I'm old. It's just not right. Things are just not right. But holding her hand, we just never do it. Wouldn't bother me at all. Unless somebody says something, my mouth would start then.
Have you ever retaliated against somebody verbally or physically who's said anything to you?
No.
Never?
No. If I would retaliate to anybody, it would be verbally. You know. Because I don't like... What's the word? Oh, God, here we go again. What's the word? I'll forget what I was talking about. I don't like people who are hypocrites. You know, you read the Bible. Oh, God, here I go. I'll make this one short. You read the Bible, and then you want to thump it on somebody else. You believe every damn word the Bible says. And gay people are going to hell because somebody in the Bible says it was not right. You know, I used to look at it that way and think, you know, but God loves all his kids. So, you know, but I'm not a religious person anymore. Used to be, but I'm not. And how can religious people say that we're going to hell when they're being bigots? You know, their church is supposed to be teaching them love everybody, love your neighbor, blah, blah, blah. Except for gay people. That's not right, and I just would probably tell someone to go fuck themselves.
Can I ask you to elaborate a little bit about your relationship with religion kind of throughout your life?
I was very religious. My dad forced us to go to church and Sunday school and all that basic crap. And I always believed there was a God and a Jesus. And as I got older, I would hear other people talking. You know, I had this one customer. I used to clean houses. I had this one customer, and we were talking religious. Now, he's Jewish, which, okay, whatever. We all supposed to pray to the same God. They just didn't believe in Jesus. But he had made some points out about it because he studied religion. And the more I thought about it, the more it's like, well, isn't that true? And the older I got, and once Pat died, it kind of just like, you know, there's supposed to be a God, and she died. And it's not that she died, it's that, why did I have to go through all this bullshit from her until she died, until the moment she went into a coma? Yeah, I just don't think there is one. I don't think there's somebody that created us. I don't think that there's one person that... The Bible, for instance, let's say, the Bible was supposed to be written by Jesus' disciples. Well, the Bible was written 400 years after Christ died, by men, has been translated and rewritten thousands of times. I think it's a guide. I don't think God had anything to do with it. I don't think God... Okay, let me back up. Dinosaurs are supposed to be billions of years old. But then here we are. God was supposed to create us 2017 years ago. Well, and then created the first man, woman. Well, what happened to the cavemen? What happened to all these things that were billions of years ago? Who created them? These are the questions I come up with. All right, I think. I don't think the Bible is nothing but a bunch of men telling you how we're supposed to act. Women are low as whale shit, according to men, according to the Bible, even if you read it. Yeah. So I just don't really have much faith.
Did you ever raise your kids religiously then, or not at all? So,
the girls, the three girls, weren't. Okay, even though their grandmother, supposedly really religious, they went to church and crap like that once in a while. Now, Jessica didn't go to church, but Pat was real Catholic and told me one time, I can't be with somebody who doesn't believe in God. Well, you know, I'm whatever. And Jessica was baptized. Now, Jessica has a faith, and she wants her son raised up. I don't preach to him, but I also don't tell him my feelings about it. That's got to be his choice and his mother's choice. Once he gets older, he can make his decision. Just like religion was forced on me as a kid, and I believed. I believed that there was this higher power that if I did something wrong, he was going to see me and I'm going to hell. Earth is hell. Okay? Heaven is death. Or I should say, death is heaven. And so I'm not going to sit there and tell them there isn't. If they ask, I'll just simply tell them they have to talk to the mom. Talk to your parents. Well, what do you think? I think it's good for you to have some base. What am I going to say? It's a joke.
Would Tammy, do you think, fall on that side too?
I don't think so. I really don't know because we don't talk about it. She knows how I feel. But we really don't talk about religion. So I can't, I really don't know. I don't know if she believes in God or if she doesn't. I don't know how she feels about it. It's just, I'm more open now. Damn menopause. I'm more open about not believing. But I also will say, I used to, every night when Pat was in a coma, say the Lord's Prayer for her. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you and Tammy talk about, say, over dinner? If you guys were just out to dinner by yourselves.
You would think we are the boringest people you've ever met. Tammy and I do not talk a lot. We are both very quiet people. We'll talk about a job, we'll talk about the kids, we'll talk about what did you see what happened on the news? You know, stuff like that. But Tammy and I can sit for an hour and not say a word. Just, we're just there together. She was not real talkative. When I used to, when we were friends, and even when we started going, I told her everything I could possibly think to tell her so that nothing would ever be a surprise to her. She knew everything that I could possibly think of to tell her about myself, my good things, my bad things, my horrible things, my things that we just don't talk about. You know, because I wanted, it's a new relationship. I had a new chance at love. And I just wanted her to know. I felt that compelled in the way I felt about her that I wanted her to know everything I could possibly tell, think of me to tell her.
Are there any stories about her that I haven't touched on that you think you like are valuable about your relationship, about her?
I like the story she tells me about growing up. Her mom was a single mother. Her mom and dad didn't get a divorce for a long time, but he was in the service. So Tammy never seen his dad. Her dad, maybe once or twice when she was an infant. He was always out of the picture. So that she was raised by her aunt and uncle, which later growing up, they called him Grandma and Grandpa because it was a child that got confused by calling them this or that, you know, so they started. Just the stories that she tells me about her relationship with her grandpa and her uncles and how, I think it was her uncle, it could have been her grandpa, I'm not sure. One of them took her to the store and called her sir. And her uncle, grandpa, looked at the man and said, "Man, are you stupid? Have you seen the knockers on her?" Tammy's got big boobs. Tammy said she wanted to shrink down to nothing of embarrassment. I love this story. And that grandpa would take off driving and take them and give the kids a couple ice creams while they go had a couple beers and shh, you don't tell grandma. You know, stuff like that. I would have loved to have grown up with her. In a farm life and small towns and, yeah.
As compared, because your upbringing was more urban, you would say?
Yeah, I grew up north St. Louis. Lived there till I was 21. And then moved to the city. I like the city. I like where I live now. It's quiet. It's close to everything. I loved Glasgow Village. To raise a child in Glasgow Village now would be priceless. But back then, you weren't afraid of people. You didn't have all these horrible stories. You trusted people. People were kind. You knew everybody on your block. It was a perfect place to grow up as a kid. You can't find that now.
Do you ever now wish that you and Tammy and or the kids could just kind of move out to the farm, to rural land?
I do. I wish I could. Tammy's still working. She doesn't get to retire for a couple of years, but I do. I wish, not maybe rural, not to where I have to drive 30 minutes to find a grocery store, but a small town with land. My biggest dream is I want to own a farm and take all the unwanted animals and all the unwanted kids and have them all on this farm. They can work, do, take care of the animals, and they'd all be loved. That's my dream. That's what, it's not going to happen, but that's something I would love to do.
That's beautiful, actually. So you think that's completely out of the picture? You don't have any aspirations of actually implementing that? No plans?
No. Because the older I get, the more I don't like kids. No. I don't have as much patience. But that would be something I would love. Maybe forget the kids, get the animals. Have my kids come out. But I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. I think we just may stay where we're at. As long as we can manage. I don't want to have to go into an old folks home. Mm.
Is there anything, I guess, about your kids? Well, yeah. Are there any stories about your kids that I also haven't really prodded that you think are...
Let's see. What are some of the stupid things they've done? Oh, God. I wish I could think of them. And I can't. Sucks getting old. Your memory kind of plays tricks on you. There's funny stories, but I can't think of them.
And then what about for your life? Have I not touched on anything that you think is like really important, or just something that you like about yourself, or a story about yourself that I haven't really touched on at all?
The only thing I can say that I like about myself is that I do care. Sometimes too much, and that can cause problems, but I do care. And I wouldn't change it for anything. I mean, there's a few parts, but you take the good with the bad. And if I did change it, I wouldn't have my kids. And for people just to remember, it's not the kids' fault, what the parents do. Kids need love, and you don't have to be blood. Blood is not always thicker. So, if you ever need a stepmommy, you know how to get a hold of me. No, I want my kids to grow up good. They don't have to be wealthy. Just to be good, honest, nice people. And remember that they may come into a situation where there's kids that need love. That blood's not thicker. You love them, and you raise them. And I've done the best I could. They're on their own now. Well, a couple of them are on their own now. So, you hope what you've done for them? I can't think of the word. God damn it. I hope that what I've done rubs off on them in some way. And just be kind to people. There's no need to be ugly. Too much of that going around. And take no shit from no one.
That was really well said.
Thank you.
Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, thank you, and you're kind. I like you.
I like you too. This was really great, Karen. Thank you so much. Thank you for everything.
You know where I live. You can always stop by. Hey, Karen. How old are you?
I'm 21.
Oh, see? We can take you out to a lesbian bar.
I might take you up on that one.
Hey, you want to get to know what we do? You can... the 4th is Saturday. What are you doing?
I don't know if I have any plans.
Well, if you don't, you can come down to the lesbian bar. Hummel's on Broadway.
We can talk. We'll chat
about
it.
I'll be there. Everybody I've talked about except for my kids will be there.
Awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Awesome, Karen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.